Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
All gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. Bad. Bad.
George Thorogood and the Destroyers will be at UPAC in Kingston on Tuesday night, March 19th at 8 o'clock. They come to celebrate some 40 years of loud, simple, and direct rock and roll with a string of solid gold hits, including Bad to the Bone, One Bourbon, One Scotch, One Beer, Moving On Over, Who Do You Love, I Drink Alone, and many others. George Thorogood and the Destroyers have released 16 studio albums, including two that were certified platinum, six that have gone certified gold, and have sold some 15 million albums worldwide. It's a great pleasure to welcome George Thorogood to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
We've done all that?
Yeah, you've done all that.
You're good, man. I wish I'd run into you sooner.
You know, I grew up in Philadelphia, and you were, when I was growing up, you were the god. And we all went to go see you, and it was always like the big event when George Thorogood was playing Philly, and that's just how I grew up, and now what's great is that you never really had a slow period, did you?
We've been fortunate that our pedal to the metal has been steady. I can't complain.
Yeah, and do you understand why that is? I mean, because that obviously isn't always the case.
Well, I think it's just a matter of time. Well, first of all, we have a great fan base from day one. And we hit pay dirt with our first song, Bourbon, Scotch, and Beer, and Moving On Over. So we got out of the chute fast with a couple of staples that are still popular today. I think if you want to run it down, if you got the time, we got in on FM radio just before it closed its doors. That was a good break. We got on an MTV in its infancy. That was a big break. We got in on rock classic radio when it just started, and then when the House of Blues franchise started and the Native American casino things happened, along with our fan base. I really think it's radio is really what's helped us. When rock classic radio was invented, that's when Bad to the Bone really took off, because it had been out for 8 years, and it was okay. People liked it okay. But it found its market. It found its ear, its audience in rock classic radio.
And given that what rock classic radio now has been around sort of as we know it for the last 25, 30 years, that song dominates, and is it a sense of nostalgia, do you think? Because people are also being just introduced to the music as well.
Yeah, I guess, you know, there's two things. There's the title, which is it's a prepositional phrase. You can't go wrong with that. Like Gone with the Wind is a prepositional phrase.
Right.
Born to be Wild, you know. It's something that people can say every day.
Right.
You know, and there's the riff that gets people's attention. Whether you like the song or not, you hear the riff and it's like hearing a police siren. it's recognizable right away. You hear it and you either go, "All right, the cops are here," or you go, "Oh, God, let's get out of here. The cops are here." You know. So I think a combination of those two things have helped.
I've heard you say this in concert that you enjoy playing those hits. Like that's not a drag for you.
No, that was what the songs were designed for. I've rarely, I think maybe once or twice in all the years that I played music, have written a song or found a song that had anything to do with me personally. Every song I did was for complete entertainment purposes, hoping that it would catch on. Some of them we knew would catch on, and some of them we got lucky with. We had no doubt with Get a Haircut. We had no doubt with I Drink Alone. And no doubt with Bourbon, Scotch, and Beer. A few of the other ones were mild surprises. But they're always been for the audience appreciation. That's why I play them.
Because many performers will say, hey, look, I've got new stuff out, as you do. I'm putting out new material, and I want you to hear that, and don't rely on the old stuff because I have matured as an artist.
Well, that's up to the individual. I'm just not that kind of person.
Yeah. Because we expect to hear, you can't leave, to me, you can't leave a George Thorogood show without hearing Bad to the Bone.
Well, let's just put it this way. If a promoter says, you know, B.B. King says, I'm going to play the show, but I'm not going to do The Thrill Is Gone. Now, he'd be out of a job fast.
Right.
I think if you go see Rod Stewart, you want to hear Maggie May, don't you?
Yes.
Well, then, you know, I didn't make the rules, pal.
Well, but what I find interesting is so many people don't play by those rules that you can go to. I mean, most famously, and we should note they're no longer together, but, you know, going to hear R.E.M. and not hearing a single hit.
I'm just on a different, you know, I saw Chuck Berry in 1974 once, and he walked in on the stage, and he said to the audience, okay, here I am. What do you want to hear? And I thought, wow, that's great.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to think. He doesn't have to make up a song list. Any song they want him to play, they're going to love it. You know, look at John Fogerty. Does he really need some new material?
Right. You got a pretty good.
He's done all right.
And you and the band, I mean, you have a hell of a catalog.
Well, and we have a limited amount of time on stage. Let's face it, Joe. You know, there's curfews and there's union laws and there's fines if you play too long. So I'm a limited amount of time. I don't mean limited like 5 or 10 minutes. I mean I'm allowed a certain amount of time on stage. And I go, well, there's 6 or 7 songs you're going to have to do. So that sucks up 3/4 of the night. So in a way, there's no guesswork, which makes it great for me.
And you still enjoy the physical act of going out there and making the music.
Well, I didn't always enjoy it. Let's put it that way. A lot of times it was bad equipment. The room wasn't good. The PA wasn't good. You had to travel in a beat-up old car. Now it's much more enjoyable because the accommodations are much better.
You hit the scene in 1977, and as you say, you came in at a pretty good time for rock and roll, and your type of rock and roll.
I had something going for us, even though we didn't play on the level of some of the other rock acts. We were kind of raw. We were kind of ragged. But what we did, and the way we did it, you know what really helped us a lot, Joe?
What?
Disco.
You became the alternative.
People were tired of it.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people didn't like it to begin with. So having that happening, we were refreshing to people. Even if we played badly, they didn't care. You know?
So when you say you do the songs for entertainment purposes, and you know, they're not necessarily about you, it still reflects your sensibilities, though, right? I mean, it still reflects the type of music that is part of you, that you listen to, that you identify with.
Well, there was a reviewer who came to see us from Rolling Stone magazine in New York City, and this reviewer put it right because we were on Rounder, and it was all this talk about, you know, the blues and roots music. And this person said, this is not some white boy playing roots music, just a free spirit blowing the place out with his favorites.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, they're my favorites, and I'm sharing them. I talked to the guy who was a guitar tech for Keith Richards, and he has a band called The Dirty Strangers. And he said something to me, it was great. He said, rock and roll should be something you play like you just discovered it yesterday. That's how you should play it. And I said, yeah, and you want to share it with the world today. And that's me. You know, I feel like saying, listen, there's this great song. It's called Ride on Josephine. This is gonna. I love this tune. You're going to love it too. And, you know, that's the whole presentation.
When you, with that said, you're still working on new material. You're still writing, and you're still.
I don't know about new material. New ideas.
New ideas.
New ideas to keep the. And even if we don't come up with any new, I think the old ideas will keep us going for a while.
Well, there's always that, sure.
Yeah.
But you had a new album out what 2 years ago or so. And so there's still stuff there to mine and to work with.
No, not really. There's a lot of those songs that would just be impossible for us to reproduce in a live show. And like I say, we're limited. But there are some of them we can do. As long as we got a few of them, we're okay.
But the whole idea of doing the album, the whole idea of coming to new material, I mean, is that still a mission of the band?
You know, it's like and you add new things to the menu, so the old menu looks better than ever.
When the band gets together and you talk, do you say, oh, you know, well, we have to work on a new album? Like, is that always, oh, we have to work on something new?
No, they say that. I don't. No, I don't.
Are you, you're done with that, George?
Yeah,
that...
I run and hide. They got to come find me. They go, George, it's been 3 years. It's new record time. Ah!
And that's fine, right? You don't, you know, you do what you want to do.
Yeah, it's okay, but, you know, after a while you're going, well, you know, how many more drinking songs does the world need? There's enough bad songs. I mean, we were in a studio once cutting a record in January, and it was a promoter who wanted to work in July or August. Simon kept bugging us. And our manager and our booking agent kept saying, look, George is working, he's in the studio, and he can't be bothered. And the promoter said, what's he doing in the studio? And our manager said, he's making a new record. And the promoter went, why? And I'm like, yeah, I love that guy. Hire me.
you say, how many drinking songs do you need? But the fact that the songs that you have that are so identifiable to you and to your audience and to your fan base, you know, it just, they work, don't they? They have a commonality.
Everybody drinks beer and everybody wants to be bad.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, it's a simple formula, Joe. You know, why do you think there's the Die Hard franchise is still going?
Right.
Why? Guys want to be that guy. You know, even if Bruce really isn't that guy, they don't really care about that. You know, everybody wants to be James Bond, don't they?
Right.
Yeah, but that's when I write Bad to the Bone or Born to Be, people go, oh, yeah, I want to be bad. Give me another beer. I'm bad. Well, you just smell bad. You know? But that's just part of the whole culture we live in. That's all. I've just tapped into that, you know.
George Thurgood and the Destroyers will be at UPAC in Kingston Tuesday night, March 19th at 8 o'clock. You can go to bardavon.org for more information. Bardavon.org. George Thurgood, a pleasure. It's a great honor to speak to you. I've been a fan
George
for a long
Thurgood
time.
George Thurgood and Joe Donahue at the round table.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Keep it down. Keep it cool. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. George Thurgood and the Destroyers at UPAC in Kingston Tuesday night, March 19th, 8 o'clock. Go to www.bardavon.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.